after the fact. You can have a court reporter or a stenographer, typist, transcriptionist, whatever. Take that verbatim record, which is an audio and video rendering, and produce a paper transcript, or you can run it through filters and you can use some voice recognition software that will begin to convert that, after which it has to be cleaned up and scoped as well. There is no perfect way to do it. So at the basic level, they both do the same thing. At the sophisticated level, one does it much differently than the other. You see, digital...
Okay, let me rephrase my question. Okay. Is your program, what you're going to show us, does it affect the present court reporters that we have now? Is it going to affect?
It could.
What? I don't want to could. Just tell me, you know.
Well, you're asking me to make a political statement, and I'm not here to do
that.
It's
not a political statement. If somebody's going to take my job from me, that's not a political. Just tell me.
We're not advocating that. We're advocating the hybrid use of both technologies, court reporters as well as electronic. Electronic can be used as backups for court reporters. Electronic can be used in place of a court reporter in a court of lesser jurisdiction or wherever you might deem appropriate. I'm not going to stand in front of you and say court reporters are losing their jobs, because I quite honestly do not know of a single instance where a court reporter has ever lost their job as a direct result of either my technology or any other technology.
Let me ask you this. Where your program is presently being done, was there any court reporters in those states that had lost their jobs, or were there a percentage of, you know?
Let me give you an example. Ms. Miller brought up Illinois. And I take exception with some of the comments she made, but that's okay. In the state of Illinois, we have a very, very big installation in Wheaton, Illinois, DuPage. And you'll have a picture of that. You'll have a picture in your handouts of some of the court reporters that are actually running the system. The court reporters run and manage the electronic recording system in DuPage, Illinois. And as long as you're talking about opportunity, in DuPage, Illinois, they have a staff of 25 court reporters that are running 38 courtrooms. Since the implementation of electronics some 7 years ago, Senator, each court reporter, on average, made $10,000 more per year, and that's a documented statement. So, you want to talk about opportunity? I'm not sure that's a negative. Perhaps it is, I don't know.
Well, compared to that town you're talking about in Illinois, that's a hell of a lot of difference in Harris County, Texas.
Could be. I don't know anything about Harris County, Texas.
It's the largest county in the state and probably third in the nation.
Mm-hmm. But I would say, based upon our experiences, Senator, no.
More court reporters.
More court reporters?
I mean, you know what I'm trying to get here. I mean, we don't have to play ring around the rosy here. I just want to make sure that I don't get yelled at when I go back home.
You probably will anyway. But most jurisdictions choose not to get rid of court reporters, but there is an attrition rate. There is a growth and an increase in courts. And so many of them have solved that problem by not replacing court reporters as they retire or move, et cetera.
Thank you,
Chairman.
Senator Duffin.
What I've heard you talk about today is a case for not mandating one or the other, but to allow counties, I guess, to choose. Is that...
That's essentially what I'm saying.
So
we're just saying allow choice.
So then those decisions would be made by the county commissioners?
I don't necessarily think they're the only ones that would make that decision. Judges can make those decisions as well.
Well, I think the way in Texas it works is that those decisions are made by the county because the county funds that. Mm-hmm. So the commissioners, we would be basically giving this decision over to the commissioners, as opposed to the taking that decision out of our hands or the judicial branch of the government's hands and placing it into the local county government. That's the way I see if we do what you want to do on the choice plan. So I'm not saying I would have some major concerns about turning those decisions with regard to operation of the courtroom itself over to the county commissioners.
Well, that's a political decision again. I'm here to advocate that, you know, in our system, not just the judicial system, but in our economic system, the best usually ends up rising, the most cost-effective, or whatever the technology or whatever the application is. And we're saying, let it be allowed. If one technology is better than the other, they're going to, obviously, win.
Real time's not available in your system, is it?
No. No.
As I understand, so if you have a murder trial. Mm-hmm. So you have a capital murder case, which is, we know is going to be appealed. And that county commissioner's court has chosen to implement your system. Your system's not perfect, is it?
No system's perfect, Senator.
So critical parts of the testimony are omitted. What happens to that case?
Well, what would happen in the case of court reporters losing their notes, which has happened many times? What would happen
in the
case?
I know one case where it's happened in Texas. It was high profile. But I'm saying, where's the accountability?
Well, it's the same. It's the same system. If you implement,
let me go one step further. I understand where you're going. So if we were to allow this, and there was a error in, say, your system, it failed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hypothetically use a civil litigation where, say, a jury awards a $25 million verdict to a plaintiff, and the defendant appeals that. But because the record has a flaw in it, because your system failed or something happened, there was a defect or something, or it just didn't work, who would be liable for that? In other words, could the plaintiff who lost his $25 million verdict because the appellate court said there's no record, so we've got to retry the case, or a motion for new trial is granted because we've got to retry the case, would your company be... How does this work in the other states? Would you be civilly liable for that?
No. But you know what, Senator, I think that there are some people here that are going to be speaking before you that are...
Would a court reporter be liable for that?
Well, you'd have to speak for court reporters. I don't know.
What's the present law as it relates to court reporters today?
What I'm suggesting
in terms
is
of
that...
Liability.
Do y'all have insurance to cover that?
Yes, we do. What I'm suggesting is that we have county commissioners here...
How much?
And judges, Senator, you know, we have errors and omissions, and we have liability insurance that covers about $5 million.
So in my hypothetical, you wouldn't have enough coverage?
Well, hypothetically, but then again, hypothetically, we're not really responsible for the abuse or misuse of technology.
Well, I'm talking about if it's just defective, it doesn't work. I mean, you install it wrong,
Understood.
I mean, the same thing can happen with court reporters. I'm wondering where the responsibility is.
Understood.
And if court reporters are basically certified and they're, you know, we have some level of minimum requirements for that, is there any minimum level of requirements that we have for your system?
You could certainly establish them. And I think that moving forward with any technology, that's why I mentioned before standards. I think standards should be established.
Well, what about liability and minimum limits of liability insurance?
Well, that may be part of your standards. You may require that anybody who submits any software to the state of Texas have a minimum liability insurance. That'll be up to y'all to decide how to do that. But as I was saying, we have some judges and we have some commissioners here that are far better at addressing some of your concerns that you raised than I am.
Thank you.
I'm here advocating choice as a representative of the electronic industry, not as a member of any Texas political body.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman. Senator West has a question.
As relates to the accuracy of your system compared to that of a stenographer, kind of give us an idea of how accurate it is compared to that system, a stenographer system, court system.
Senator, I'm not trying to...
Hold on for a second. Let me lay this predicate. your system is installed, is used in other states, is that correct? And I assume that prior to that system being implemented, they had a court reporting system, real-time system. Has there been any type of comparative analysis as to the accuracy of your system compared to a real-time system?
There have been.
And what states have they been in?
State of Pennsylvania.
And what was the result?
Did one. Well, Pennsylvania.
What was the result?
The result is that verbatim recording is more accurate.
Verbatim recording. And verbatim recording is synonymous. It's digital. Electronic, I mean, well, let me make sure I got the terminology right. When you say verbatim recording, we're talking about using a court reporter.
No, we're talking about using electronics, Senator.
They're saying the electronics in, what about Florida?
Florida did a couple of studies, and this is a county by county situation. Nothing was done statewide.
Okay.
And, I mean, if you think about it.
No, hold on, just give me, just answer the question, please.
Well, he's trying.
Well, I just need to know the result. That's all I asked you.
The result is electronic produces a more accurate reporting when implemented correctly.
Okay. I'd like to get, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to get those reports submitted to the committee if at all possible.
I can ask those jurisdictions if they will be willing to do that.
Okay.
That'd be great.
The other question that I have is, and I'm kind of a subject, verb, and object person. That's all I need to know. All right. The specific question is this. In your presentation a few moments ago, you indicated that the electronic record ultimately has to be scrubbed. And I assume that when you mean that it has to be scrubbed, if there's going to be an appeal taken, then someone has to come in and format it for the appellate for appeal purposes. Is that correct?
Senator, what I said was the transcript
has to be scrubbed.
Will be produced has to be scoped and cleaned up the same as any transcript would be.
And that would be done by?
By a court reporter in many jurisdictions, by someone else that you want to appoint, whether they're on the staff or not. This has been done in many different ways, depending upon the locations and jurisdictions.
Okay, so then the need for a court reporter under your system would be if indeed an appeal was going to be taken from the proceeding.
The absolute need, that would be affirmative. However, in many jurisdictions, court reporters are running and managing these technologies, as I mentioned to you before. For example, Illinois is one state where court reporters in DuPage, Illinois, are actually managing the system. There are no non-certified standards that operate the system.
Okay, so in there are no, and throughout the country where your system is utilized, there are no non-certified stenographers.
There's a hybrid implementation. In some jurisdictions, there are certified. In some, there aren't. It depends upon the jurisdiction.
Okay. And you also mentioned ownership of the record a few moments ago. Elaborate a little bit more on that.
Well, what I mean by that is, who owns the record? Does the court own the record? Does the court reporter own the record? Does the person who makes the record own the record? In a hybrid situation of choice, the record would be owned by the court. And the court then, or the litigants, could decide who they want to transcribe if they want a transcription, or produce a CD, DVD, and that would be the official record. So it's the ownership of the record that comes in question when you're looking at other than a court reporter making the record.
And how has that impacted the cost of litigation one way or the other?
That depends. For example, with an electronic recording system, you can produce, and Commissioner Hoagland's going to go into this in a little bit more detail in his presentation, but you can produce an electronic copy of a daily proceeding for about 19 cents. That's the cost of a CD versus whatever it would cost to produce the equivalent amount of pages. A judge in chambers, for example, could immediately after a proceeding go into chambers and review it on their computer, on their PC, by downloading it over the network. So from a cost perspective, electronic recording offers different choices and other alternatives than simply a paper transcript.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there other questions? I think we interrupted your presentation with some questions. If you'd like to continue with your...
I don't know where I was, Mr. Chairman.
Well, you were about halfway through this handout. I think you were talking about ER should...
I think the last point I was going to make, Senator Wentworth, is retention and disaster recovery.
Right.
With electronic technology, and again, I want to emphasize, not all technologies are created equal, any more so than anything else. With electronic technology, you can have a true disaster recovery plan in the sense that the electronic files, as they're recorded, can be transferred to remote sites instantaneously. And so you would always have repositories, secured repositories of the record in the event that there should be some sort of a disaster that would occur to that sole repository of a record. So that offers you some flexibility that current technology might not. The next page is...
I think we're subject to...
Senator Harris.
Time, tide, hurricane. up along the middle part of Texas, the panhandle and all that.
And
is that what you're trying to tell us?
Well, that's one
that
thing.
That would be the advantage.
That's one thing. There could be other things that could occur that...
I'm ready for a hurricane to hit up north. We're in drought.
He needs the rain.
Senator, I'll tell you, in Massachusetts, we had about 21 inches of rain in the month of May, and I tell you, we'd be glad to ship some of that down to you. Because that's a lot of water.
You had a lot of problems.
We had a lot of floods. We had a lot of water up there. You know, a few years ago, every year I attend a Microsoft executive conference that's held around the world, and we get speakers from various places. 2 years ago, in Florida, we had a speaker from the state of Texas, and she represented the comptroller's office and talked about the use of technology in the state of Texas. And afterwards, I went up to her and I asked her, I said, you know, I'm having a tough time trying to sell technology in the state of Texas. I said, could you help me a little bit and talk to me about how Texas makes decisions of this magnitude? And she says, sure, there are four things you got to think about right now. That's what we think about when we make technology decisions. And I said, what would they be? She said, first of all, we want to see a real return on investment. Not somebody coming in here and saying, well, you know, if you do this 3 years or 5 years down the road, you're going to have this. She said, you need to be able to show us a real return of investment of 12 months or less, real. I said, what's the second point? She said, the second point is that it's got to be relatively easy to implement. We can't embark upon something that's going to take us 3 or 4 or 5 years to implement. She said, we want a return on investment and we want a technology that we can implement quite easily. I said, what's the third point? So the third point is it's got to have something to do with security, because right now that's a real big issue in Texas. So if you can demonstrate how your technology can be employed in a way that can help us with a security issue, that's a really important part of it. And I said, and what's the fourth thing? She said, the fourth thing is it has to be affordable, period, because we don't have a lot of money to invest in technology. So if you can get creative on how we can implement technology, we'll be willing to listen. And that's why I put some of these points down under ER, and I agree with them all. We've got to be able to address security issues. And technology, ER technology, the proper ER technology does, and I'll give you an example of that. In some of the courthouses that we're installed in other states, they take live video feeds in the courtroom, and they feed them directly down to security offices. So that whole technology is now integrated. And security can bring up replays of any audio, any video, not just in the courtroom, but in the halls, around chambers, wherever they have security. They can integrate that. And as a result of that, because of federal grant money that's available for security applications through Homeland Security, some places have been able to pay for a great deal of this technology through federal Homeland Security grants. As you move further down, we believe that it should be managed to address a question I think that was raised by, I think you, Senator West, about qualified staff. We're not advocating that you go out on the street and hire somebody that's not qualified to operate this technology at all. If you've got FTEs, full-time equivalents, court reporters that are on your staff, by all means, you want to employ the best people possible to use this technology and use it to their advantage as well.
Senator Duncan's got a question.
Senator?
So, but we wouldn't be making that decision, because the way this, the way I understand this would work is that that the the pitch for this would be made to the county commissioners, and then they would write their, and they would have to pay for that expertise.
I'm going to defer that to Commissioner Holman to address.
Okay.
He'll address that, that question. I also believe that the technology should be capable of being leveraged and converged into other technologies. For example, case management systems. Many counties in Texas are using Tyler Technologies case management system. And we have integrated with a number of case management systems throughout the United States, where information that's entered in a court once populates all systems. And we believe that there's a tremendous amount of economy and efficiency in being able to converge technologies.
Senator Harris has a question.
Senator?
Now, in using this technology, are you saying that this would be for one courtroom at a time? Are you talking about multiple courtrooms at a time, or what?
That would be up to how you choose to implement it. We're not advocating any particular implementation plan. We're just advocating a case to at least allow it. That would be up to the commissioners, up to the judges, to decide how they want to do that.
Well, if it's the machine and a court reporter is the one monitoring it, you're talking about adding cost to the county. Because the court reporter's the one overseeing it and monitoring it, you're talking, then whatever this thing costs is going to be in addition to the court reporter, is it not, if it's one court at a time?
Senator, if you could turn to that page in your handout, you're going to see a picture of a control room.
I see that control center. I see four courts. That's why I asked you the question I did
That's
earlier.
A dynamic.
Sir, please don't be argumentative. That's why I asked you the question, sir, earlier, as to how many. Were you contemplating four courtrooms at once, or one courtroom, or what?
Senator, I apologize if I appeared argumentative to you.
Well, I listened to you answering Senator West's questions. You're a lawyer. You know better.
Recovering, sir.
All these lawyers are on there for the most part.
Don't necessarily advocate any one particular implementation. For example, if you integrate this technology with the case management system, for example, you don't necessarily need anyone to be operating it on a regular basis. You do need somebody to be able to monitor the proceedings from however many courts you're doing.
But if you need a record, you got to have a stenographer transcribe the record, don't you?
Or some other, yes,
so,
you do, unless you allow electronic.
So
even if you have, based on what you're saying, excuse me, Senator Duncan, based on what your response was to my question, if you have the electronic system and it's recording everything that's going into going on in a court proceeding and there's an appeal, you still have to have a court reporter turn around and format it and transcript for appeal, right?
Produce a transcript, that's correct.
So who's it, is that going to be, is that cost going to be borne by the county, or is it going to be passed on to the, the parties have to hire their own court reporter to do that?
Well, and again, I'm going to defer to Commissioner Hoagland to address the costs to the counties and how they intend to deal with that.
Well, sir, let me ask you one other question.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's say I'm in a trial. I ask a question. Senator West objects to it. The judge asks to have my question
read back.
That's been objected to read back. Mm-hmm. How's that going to be done under your system?
That's done by going back to, on a computer in the courtroom, by going back to the previous question. The operator can either scroll back if they've made a note that says question was asked. They can click on a button and that would be played back through the PA system, or they can go back incrementally in a matter of seconds or minutes to find exactly what they want.
But you got to have an operator there to be doing that.
Yes, you do, or a clerk or a judge, whoever is going to be using the system.
The judge is now going to be monitoring the system? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not advocating that, sir. What I'm saying is that a judge could do a playback if they chose to.
So when I'm looking at your screen here and you're showing four proceedings at once and one monitor, that monitor is going to have to be reacting to four courtrooms at the same time.
Correct.
Actually, I think there are two ladies in that.
Okay.
Well, it looks like four to me.
Senator Wentworth?
Four screens, but two ladies.
Each one of these, when Senator Harris is correct, each one of these ladies is operating four courtrooms at the same time.
See?
Explain the four screens to me then. Four screens and two women in my photograph.
That's 16
screens. Well, that's correct, but 16. The other woman at the end that you can't see her face, she has her own set of courtrooms, her own set of four courtrooms. The one in the foreground is looking at four courtrooms. The one in the background is looking at an additional four courtrooms.
I see.
There's eight courtrooms.
And so what are those blue-screened panels that are not courtrooms, apparently?
That is the interface that they're using to make notes and to control the actual recording process. What you're seeing on the left, the four courtrooms, those are video images of the courtrooms, right, so that these court reporters can take visual cues as to what's going on.
I see.
So they can look into it and then take visual cues.
What,
Senator Harris?
Are you anticipating that, how is this going to work? You're going to have mics at each of the council tables, mic at the witness stand, mic on the judge? How's that going to work?
Well, each participant has a microphone. In addition, there are generalized microphones to accommodate walking through a well area, for example, where someone might not be behind the microphone. Each of those microphones is recorded to a separate channel. There can be any number of channels. If you have four microphones, there can be four channels. If you have eight microphones, there can be eight channels, etc. Each of those channels can be isolated for playback. A channel could be dedicated, for example, to an interpreter. So that interpreter, you can copy and you can have a verbatim record of what the interpreter is saying to the defendant, as well as the proceedings in the court. And that can be a separate channel that you can listen to and deal with in a separate manner.
So have you gone around any of the rural courthouses in Texas? Gone around to some of the older rural courthouses?
I've gone to some of them, yes.
And have you noticed how bad the acoustics are in there?
Yes, sir.
Or next to impossible in various areas of those courtrooms. And never mind.
Senator Gallegos has a question.
Mr. Trinus, let me ask you, and Senator Duncan brought up a good point. Okay, and I see the lady working in the four courtrooms. What if, you know, in a case, whatever the case may be, a PI case, explosion, especially in Texas along the channel, an explosion case or a murder case, or some of the court reportings are dropped, and what my question to you is, who sued if that shows up missing in a replay or if on an appeal? I'm not a lawyer, and on an appeal, is who is sued? I mean, is Most of the state's involved, but is the county sued, the state sued? Who's sued here if she drops this girl here that you show on your pass out some important data from that record?
Well, in the case of this particular gal, she's a certified court.
No, that's not what I said. I'm talking about if something comes up missing, if Senator Harris or the rest of the lawyers here, of all these lawyers that we have up here, they have cases.
Except for Senator Corona.
Except for Senator Corona.
He's a non-lawyer.
He makes more money than all of us. But what
well,
I'm...
He knows a bunch of good lawyers.
Yeah. What I'm saying is these lawyers are trying a case, and this girl's monitoring all four, and one of them is theirs. Murder case, explosion case, and then that doesn't show up in the transcript on an appeal, then somebody wants to sue. Okay, who's sued? Is the state sued?
I really can't address that, Senator. I'm sorry. I've you know, I haven't encountered any questions of this nature before, to be honest with you.
Well, you're in Texas.
Well, I understand that. I really can't answer that, Senator.
Not even, not, that question is, it hasn't been raised in other states?
No, it has not.
It hasn't?
Well, let me ask, I think that is a question that's, that is interesting to me, is now, when you, Florida uses your technology, was that a legislative mandate, or was that, did you just basically, so the legislature hasn't adopted this system for Florida? You've just been able, they don't have, you've just been able to go locally and do that.
The legislature has adopted choice, and in some cases...
I mean, have they affirmatively adopted choice, or is it just an absence in their legislative...
No, they affirmatively allowed for the use
so
of electronic technology.
They made a conscious decision based upon, I guess, a presentation you made to them, or somebody made to them, that we're going to allow the courts to choose this methodology for recording.
Yes.
Okay.
And actually, the floor of the Senate, I think you said earlier, uses the system as well.
And the House also use.
Well, I can see where this technology might be better than what we have for committee hearings, because what we have is next to nothing. But if you need anything within a year, but
for legislative intent, huh?
But yeah, whatever that's worth.
Whatever.
But you know, it just seems to me that. By allowing local jurisdictions to make this choice, that's a pretty big decision for us if we're concerned about the quality of the record and the integrity of the process. Because I don't think you've convinced, your momentum isn't going too well up here, if you can tell by the questions. And I would like for you to try to convince me.
Well, we've got other witnesses.
Why
yet.
This is?
In addition to which, we probably really ought to.
Maybe we kind of wore him out, but
if your example is ready, do we have the potential?
Yeah, we
laptop
just
presentation
to put the screen
prepared?
On. Yeah, it's not a demonstration. If you want a demonstration, we could always come back for a demonstration. This is just a quick presentation of the overview of the system.
Well, I'd like to know. Like to see how the dadgum thing works.
All right. Why don't we
need to come down
if
there?
It's appropriate now, why don't we move down there and get the
PowerPoint.
Good luck on the volume. I don't know if that's going to work or not. Well, there you go. That's about it. So.
Is there volume?
You got it up on your laptop.
Nothing coming through.
Do you have it up on your laptop? I don't
no.
know how you operate your laptop.
This one? Hey, Mike.
General and limited jurisdictions throughout the United States, Canada, Bermuda, and Europe. Our technology is also successfully used by law enforcement agencies for recording interviews, polygraphs, and interrogations. Legislatures such as the Florida Senate are using CourtSmart's centralized systems to record committee sessions and general sessions. Online transcribers produce transcripts as the sessions are being recorded.
CourtSmart was most recently featured on a WEAR Channel 3 news report in Escambia County, Florida.
Court reporters have become a thing of the past thanks to digital technology called CourtSmart. And we'll show you why this weekend's Hard Rock is so important.
Digital record is on courtrooms across Northwest Florida.
And as Channel 3's Molly Barrows explains, this is a high-tech, cost-cutting move for the court.
Were you in the same room during this incident?
Yes, I was in the living room.
Sharon Teague monitors what goes on in this courtroom via computer. The digital program CourtSmart electronically records what's said and done. Teague keeps track of what's going on and files it.
We write down just little notes, they're called tags, and to try to figure out if we need something, we can look on our tag and see, well, this happened at this particular time, and we can jump right to it and listen to it and say, this is what went on.
The program replaces the work Teague once did as a court reporter in the courtroom. That's why administrators bought it.
Take the place of a court reporter in the sense that you can come in here and monitor everything that happens in the courtroom instead of actually being in there.
But the four-county circuit from Escambia to Walton will save $300,000 a year.
We have some high court reporter costs, and with this we'll have one person monitoring three courtrooms, so it's going to be cost efficient.
Three courtrooms in Escambia, two in Okaloosa, and one in Santa Rosa are already testing the program. Northwest Florida is among the first in the state to use it. Administrators say it's a move legislators will eventually mandate statewide.
Our choice was to let it fall on our head or to immediately say we got to get on the program, let's have some time so we can ease into it while we still have court reporters.
The transition is tough for the people technology is replacing.
Kind of hard when you've been a family for so long and then you just have to make a big change, but that's the way the economy is.
With photojournalist Jennifer Merritt, Molly Barrows, Channel 3 News.
CourtSmart digital recording systems are the only systems to provide true fault-tolerant, fail-safe, and redundant recording. Other systems claim to have redundancy by writing the recorded data to a CD as well as a computer hard drive, but only CourtSmart provides dual active recording servers having two fully independent recording systems, two DVD RAM archives, two independent databases, and even two independent audio sources. This fault-tolerant approach has produced an unmatched record of no documented lost audio in over 8 years of recording millions of courtroom hours.
CourtSmart uses no proprietary hardware and is designed incorporating open standards. All of our software is fully ODBC compliant. CourtSmart recording systems incorporate relational database management systems such as Microsoft's SQL and Oracle to manage and index all audio and video recordings along with associated notes, attachments, or any video such as first appearances or remote testimony. The use of database management systems, or RDBMS, offers far superior performance, reliability, and function than systems that are based on non-relational models, such as flat file systems. For statewide or countrywide implementations, the only way to effectively search and manage the thousands of records produced is through a relational database model. The RDBMS allows for integrated multi-level security, sealing and restricting access to certain records, and almost instantaneous access to any recording. This model is fully functional and requires no IT staff support.
Lastly, the ODBC model assures compatibility with other ODBC systems the court may implement, such as case management systems like the Maximus Court View system. Court Smart Digital Recording Systems are scalable, from portable four-channel laptop solutions to centralized central control systems recording hundreds of courtrooms. All Court Smart systems come ready for any and all communication over local area and wide area networks. Court Smart engineers have developed the only true centralized recording systems that can be controlled locally or remotely. Our systems are often used in a model of one operator controlling four or more courtrooms. All of our switching and control is done seamlessly through fully integrated CourtSmart software. CourtSmart's systems do not use mechanical switches, as other systems do, to switch views and courtrooms. With a simple click of a mouse, the operator can view and listen to any courtroom. The CourtSmart control software also allows concurrent streaming of audio and video to any authorized users over a LAN or WAN.
CourtSmart's newest offerings include a totally automatic recording system that requires no operator intervention to start recordings. The servers trigger recording events based upon a combination of time and ambient sound levels that are detected by the server audio software. Our new multilingual web-based search and play software provides a virtually unlimited number of authorized users the ability to log into an intranet or internet court site to search for and playback any previously recorded session. No additional software is required, and the user has a choice of languages at login time. The CourtSmart web interface is fully Section 508 compliant.
CourtSmart's digital encoders and unique software can record up to 72 channels per server. A court can choose to record any number of channels, such as 2, 4, and 8, etc., per courtroom. CourtSmart's user interface is simple and conforms to all Windows standards. Judges, clerks, court reporters, anyone needing to make a record can simply and easily master CourtSmart's user interface without difficulty. A few simple clicks of a mouse puts the powerful CourtSmart system in recording mode. All recordings are automatically archived to DVD RAM drives that far outperform CD archives in performance, capacity, and reliability. The CourtSmart archiving system automatically numbers each DVD disc and keeps track of all sessions on the database. Once again, there is little or no operator intervention required, as the entire process is automatic, including the hard drive management process.
CourtSmart's audio-video department specializes in the installation of superb audio systems and remote video systems that are engineered specifically for the courts and law enforcement. Our installations have been praised in leading audio-video trade publications. All of our installed AV systems use the finest components from such manufacturers as AKG, Sennheiser, JBL, Mackey, Peavey, and Sabine. Let's summarize. CourtSmart is the only system to offer true fault-tolerant recording and archiving, a fully ODBC relational database management system, complete scalability from one to hundreds of courtrooms seamlessly integrated, easy to learn and use interface, the only fully integrated centralized system, four or more channels of recording, completely automatic recording if desired, multilingual Section 508 compliant user interfaces.
CourtSmart was recently named to Inc. 500 Magazine's Top 500 Companies, placing 160th overall. CourtSmart, a company that is dedicated and committed to providing the most technically advanced digital recording solutions and the best customer support possible. When you deal with CourtSmart, you are dealing with the company that designs and installs your system. We do not use dealers or third parties. All of your support comes from the engineers and technicians that work for CourtSmart.
Ask our customers. They'll tell you about the CourtSmart difference.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, I am. Here's Mario.
Just trying to be quiet.
Senator Wentworth, if I may, I'd like to address Senator Duncan for a minute.
Sure.
Senator Duncan, did you get a better handle as to how the technology worked?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had one question, is that as far as the support for the equipment, I noticed you mentioned there's not, and I think the recording indicated that you don't use any intermediaries, so as far as support for the system is where, I mean, who do you call, where do you call when you have a problem?
The hardware, we use a standard industry hardware such as Dell computers, and the support for the computers comes from Dell locally. All the software support is handled by CourtSmart, and we either do it remotely over what's called a VPN network, or we have on-site technicians come in and support that as well.
On-site meaning?
They would come to, for example, we have a system installed, a video arraignment system installed in Collin County, Texas, and we support that remotely, the software portion of it, and if need be, we would also come on site if that requires it. In Florida, we have a separate office. As you know, as we build up a core mass in a given area, we open an office in that area.
Are you, is that 24/7 or 8 to 5? Is it 24/7?
Normally it's 12 hours a day, 5 days a week, but we have technicians on call 24/7. But the support line, the 1-800 support line, is 12 hours a day, Monday to Friday. Senator Wentworth?
Yes, sir.
Did you